meeting about. Particularly in these days where everything that we do is self-motivated. What is it about? What am I to gain? But the major reason why we are here is just to fellowship. It's just for us to fellowship. Because we have something in common that makes it imperative, necessary, and important for us to always fellowship. It's just like asking your boss at work, why do I have to come to work tomorrow? He says, you know the task at hand. It always demands that we see the importance of a project, the importance of a mission, a task. Always creates the necessity and the urgency of us coming together and us being together. Hebrews 10 and 25. You know, particularly in these very dangerous days and dangerous times where it appears like the prophecy of the old that knowledge is scarce, the word is cast, the truth of the word, the move of the spirit is cast. And the world's activities have increased in the world. There's activities in the cyberspace, activities in the secular world, in the terrestrial world. Yet these activities are not necessarily projected to promote and glorify Jesus. And we are involved in these activities on an hourly, daily basis. So as Christians, we need to take heed to what Hebrews 10 and 25, in clarity. It says, not forsaking. Now, not what? Verse 4. Let us consider one another. That word consider one another means that I must look after you. I must look at you. I must seek for you. We don't know that many times when we have what we call a backslidden brother, is oftentimes the product of our carelessness. We must consider one another to provoke, what there's to stir up, unto love and unto good works. To provoke, to stir up. Why? And how do we do this? So we must consider one another. That is, we are looking after ourselves. Hallelujah. Turn to someone here and say, I must look after you. Now, how do we do that? The next verse. Not, how do we achieve verse 24? It says, not forsaking what? The assembling of ourselves together. So Christian fellowship is to protect us. Someone listen to me here. It is to protect you. One of the things the enemy does to anyone, now why are we mentioning the enemy? The Bible says we are not ignorant. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Of the devices of the devil. Lest at any time he takes advantage of it. So that means they are devices of the devil. They are devices. There are certain things the devil does. Known tricks. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. So we know. We are not ignorant of the devices of the devil, lest at any time he takes advantage of it. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant. For the devil, your adversaries, moves around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Some people act like there is no devil. Some people's preaching, you will not think that there's anything, you know, beside poverty and lack and lack of ideas in the world. They act on like what Paul said, if a gospel we hear, 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, it is he to them who are lost, who are perishing, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. James tells us, James 4, 7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. So you cannot ignore that there is evil in the world. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the evil one, lies in darkness. Ephesians 6:10, finally my brethren, that word finally there means because of this, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Take unto yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against our friends, our colleagues at work. Against what? Principalities and powers. Against the rulers of this age, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. So, we cannot ignore the obvious. And the subtle ways of the devil are so deceitful. He has been a deceiver from the beginning. John 8:44, you have your father the devil, and his deeds you will do. He was a liar, a murderer from the beginning. So, the law of first mention. Do you get that? The first time we hear about the devil, he deceives. Genesis 3, 1-3, he came to the woman, as God said, putting a lie on the word. So we cannot ignore the obvious. We cannot. If you ignore the obvious, you ignore the obvious to your peril. Two of the dangers. The first danger is to over-celebrate the enemy. That means you are afraid. The second danger is to under or to be ignorant totally of the devil. That means you are in bondage. The approach is for us to be aware of the workings, antics of the devil with the word of God that we know and we establish in. So you cannot be ignorant. You cannot lose sight. Jesus tells us the intelligence network of demons in one of the parables. He says the demon will leave, will go, and will come back. Can you imagine? And will come back again, having half friends, sevenfold. He will come and see. In Acts 19, some seven sons of Sceva thought that this guy cometh by being brothers. They said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. And the Bible says, and being whom the demon was in, answered and said to them, Jesus, I know Paul, I'm acquainted of, who are you? Now, look at that statement. Jesus, I know Paul, I know. That means that, you know, demonic oppressions around the world are not as undefined as we think. I read something this morning as I was coming, just about to put my post on Facebook and leave. And I said, well, this statement looks a bit difficult, but it makes sense. It says, no part-time Christian can defeat full-time demons. I think I like the statement. No part-time Christian can defeat full-time demons. If you like, call it, that statement doesn't look like the word. But if you know what he's saying, you will appreciate it. We are so warned about the world. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Therefore be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what? Fellowship alike with darkness. Christ with Belial. Temple of God with idols. He that believes in it an infidel. Righteous and righteousness. He says, for he has said, come up from among them and be ye separate unto me, and touch not the unclean thing. I will walk in them. I walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my son, their father. They shall be my sons and my daughters. So, he tells us, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. James 4:4. Friendship with the world is association with God. Is enmity. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For he that loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is the love of the world? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. So the world is in lust, and this lust will pass away. So we cannot. So this lust has to do with desires. When we talk about the world and the devil, we are referring to desires. Ephesians 2 and 1. For you are still quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And it says, before now, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, fulfilling the desires of the mind and of the flesh, and were by nature, children of wrath, even as unto others. Now look at that. He says, what is this operation of the prince of the power of the air? He said, it is in men who are not born again. No wonder Matthew 16. When Jesus had just from 16, who do the men say I am? Some say you are Elias, some say you are Jeremiah, some say you are John, some say one of the prophets. So who do you say I am? Peter, speaking up, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, summoned by Jonah. Flesh and blood is not revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Therefore I say unto you, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whatever you demand on earth is done in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And they went forth, and he told them not to tell any man these things. Shortly after that, he began to tell them how he was going to die the third day and go to Jerusalem. And Peter took him and rebuked him sharply, how it was not so. And he said to him, depart from me. Get behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not. Now look at that. Look at the oppression of the devil. It's in men. When Jesus was going to be crucified, the devil said, oh, now is the hour of the prince of this world. What is he talking about? Pilate and all the high priests. So it's in men. Our conflict, our wrestle with the prince of the power of the air is in our daily lives, our offices, our neighborhood. When we enter a bus, when we drive on the streets, it's in our daily life. Don't ever see this conflict, as it were, as something that is ephemeral, extraterrestrial. No, it's here. In our daily activities. And sometimes, some believers born of God, Romans 8, 9, says you are not in the flesh but in the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwells in you, if any other spirit of Christ, none of these. For if Christ be in you, the spirit is light to righteousness, but is there to see. If the spirit of him that reckons of God dwells in you, verse 11. So, he tells you that these people are born again, and verse 14, as many as live by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 2, we are not the spirit of God, we are the spirit of God, we are called our father. Verse 16, the spirit went with the spirit, and we are children of God. Now that's clear. But, they are brethren in the Lord. born of the Spirit, that will yield to that influence. That is why Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. That instruction is such because it is possible. But be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind, that you may prove that which is the good, the acceptable and perfect will of God. Love not the world. That is instructed to a Christian. Love not the world. That means you can. Don't be friends with God, with the world. James 4:4, that means you can. 2 Corinthians 6:14, that means you can. That is why we write to the Corinthian church, people that either told, he had spoken to in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For what things do any man save the spirit of the man which is in him? What things know the things of God, but the spirit of God? For we have not received the spirit of this world, but which is of God, that we know the things that are freely given to us of God. The same things with the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, it goes further to tell you how, you know, the man who is the natural man connects to the things of the spirit of God because they are spiritually designed. Neither can he know them, nor understand them. He said, but you understand them because you have the mind of Christ. Goes on. But it goes on and tells you, brethren, when I came, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as a believer in Christ. For either to have fed you milk cannot be meat, because you cannot bear them, neither can you still now. He said, why? He says, because you behave like men under the influence of the devil. That's what he said. You are carnal. Carnal, and you should be doing that now. There's something called a carnal Christian. It's an oxymoron. It can't exist. But we can describe a Christian's conduct as carnal when he begins to act like he's not born again. Now, if church men are in the church, that means even in the church, we must open our eyes. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? So, a Christian must not act as though there is no opposition to his lifestyle. There is no opposition to the world. There is no array of hosts of darkness against the truth of the word, against the message of the gospel, against the Christian life. There is. Hence, the need of Hebrews 10:24. It's not my message actually. It's just an exhortation before my message. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So some people have a habit of forsaking Christian gathering. It's a habit. They don't do it every time, but they do it well enough for it to become a habit. They don't see the reason why you can go. Someone was telling me yesterday that the brother purportedly aspires the office of a bishop, a pastor. It's not wrong. 1 Timothy 3:1. If any aspires the office of a bishop, it is a good thing. Not bad. But then he said gleefully, I said, well, I'm looking for a church. The man said, then he said, I thought you said Bishop Oyedepo was your pastor. I said, that's utter, it's too far. That's a serious person. Not forsaking the assembly together, well, as the manner of some is. So it's a habit for that person. He can discard Christian gatherings. And when he is doing it, he's harming himself. I'm not saying A-R-M now. I'm saying H-A-R-M. He's harming himself. As the manner. Don't have a culture of missing Christian meetings. More so, he said, as we see the day approaching. That is, as we get to the end of the age, there's a call, a need for regular, frequent, often called Christian meetings. I told Brother Samai or something. And I said, look, you are involved in a profession that demands a lot of your time, medical doctor. You have to take extra effort, extra caution to your Christian life. Because let me tell you something, note what I'm going to say now and put it somewhere. Fellowship with the Christians ought to be daily. I didn't say church gathering. There must be a consistent rubbing of minds with believers. He that walks with anybody shall be wise. Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with the wise shall be wise. But the companion of fools, what happens to them? They perish together. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications may affect good manners. So, you have no choice but to preserve the integrity of your faith. According to Hebrews 10:24, consider one another to provoke yourselves unto love and unto good works. How? Not forsaking the assembling together of one another, as the manner of some is. And Paul was telling them, some of you probably have exempted yourself from Christian gathering out of beef, out of one offense or the other. You behave like mere men. Envy, strife. Not knowing, the Bible says, where there is envy and strife, there is the glory of God. Where there is envy and strife, the ministry prospers. Where there is envy and strife, the gifts of healing and manifestation. Where there is envy and strife, will prosper. There is confusion and every evil work. And in case you want to know about confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of God. Can you say amen? So you see, all those reasons that people will adduce to miss Christian meetings are just inspired from the world. The world wants to keep us from gathering, because it is in our gathering that we get strength. It's in our gathering that we are enabled. Some say, well, it's not about going to church, it's about your personal life with God. It's a lie. So you see the book of Acts, whether you see Acts 2 or Acts 4 or Acts 5, the Bible says the believers will come together often, daily. No wonder Paul would say in Acts 20, he says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and taught you daily, house to house and publicly. That means, besides coming for Wednesday service or Tuesday service or Thursday service or Sunday service, there must be a house to house approach to the word. I just visit Sister Titi and we're offering for 20, 30 minutes just to provoke ourselves unto love and good works. There must be a conscious effort on your part to express fellowship on a daily basis. Are you following what I'm saying here? There must be a conscious effort. Never let fellowship with other saints be an unconscious duty. Let it be a conscious application, a conscious effort on your part. Don't ever get too busy, too tied up, too married, too motherly, too fatherly to miss Christian fellowship. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying here? Pastor, understand me. What be mommy gay makes no difference. In fact, if you look at 1 Timothy 5, one of the qualifications of a widow that we can give support is that she has ministered to the saints. That she is known for ministry. That shows a woman who is giving to God. You must consciously, on a daily basis, create times for fellowship. Whether publicly, Acts 20:20, or house to house. The Bible remains our culture. Our culture is from the Bible. Our culture is from the Bible. Our culture is not from the movies, from the television, from the internet. Our culture is from the Word. What the Word says. Because we are born of the Word. 1 Peter 1:23. of his own will begat he us, James 1:18, by the word of truth that we made kind of the first fruit of his creature. 1 John 3:9, the word of God does not sin, sins not, for the seed of, it does not sin, for the seed of God abides in him. Born of the word. Ephesians 5:26, that he may wash it and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, which some are using water to baptize them all over the place, but it says by the word. The washing of water, that is the baptism, is by the word. That's why when we preach the gospel, he that believes is baptized. Amen. And is saved. Washing of water by the word. So the word is our culture. The word is our message. But the word is also our culture. Our culture. And there is a disrespect, disregard for the word. Badly enough from clergy and laity, as the case is in many places. There's nothing like that here anyway. Don't say, am I laity? Am I clergy? You are just crazy. Amen. I just used that to describe the world. I didn't say the church. Selah. Amen. So it doesn't exist in the body. Okay? We are such a little world. The word. The Bible says this. And in the same breath, he calls somebody else. Eh? Olaya. He calls the word, I call somebody else. This guy has guts. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. For the table. For doctrine. For reproof. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect unto all good works. Mature. That's why the next thing he says in verse 1, chapter 4 and 2, I charge you, Timothy, before God, the judge of all things, whom everyone will appear, both the living and the dead, at his appearing, the quick. He says, preach the word. Verse 2. Because that's all you have. The instant in season. Out of season. Why? You have told him earlier, chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given to you. That is your doctrine. That is your reproof. That is your correction. That's your instruction. So, preach the word. The instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. All long suffering and patience. For the time will come when men will no longer endure sound doctrine. And they will develop itching ears, heaping up teachers after they are lost. We are seeing that those days. People look for revs. Somebody told me, he said, it took me a while to be reading your Facebook posts because they are long. Can you imagine? In one episode, just say, the blessing is yours. The blessing is yours. Release it. Express it. Admire it. Manifest it. This is your day. I like this man. He spoke a rhema into my life. I said no. The word is never spoken like that. That is why it is in chapters and verses. It demands study. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, a man must know that the word is our culture. It's not just our message. Yes, it's our message. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Mark 16:15. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Acts 8:5. Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ. Preached Christ. The word is the message. What we have. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. It says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and we, your servants for Christ's sake, agreed. But now, the man who is born again sees the word as his culture. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We give thanks to God for you, how that when you heard the word of God, you did not hear it like the word of man. But the word which is of God, that is effectually at work in them that believe. In them that believe. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in conversation, in word, in purity, in love, in faith. Be an example. So the word is our lifestyle. James 1:20. Therefore, he says, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, verse 21, laying aside all filthiness as present, nothing has received weakness, they grasp the word that is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, likened to a man that looks at his natural face in the mirror, straightway goeth his way, and forget the manner of man he was. Whoso lose the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but doer of the word. But same there, is blessed in his deed. So, the word is our culture. In the university, it's good money. Ekarosa. Now that's a culture. The word is our culture in behavioral patterns. The word is our test machine. Whatever culture we have on the world, we test it by the word. Whatever thing comes, we test it by the word. Whatever beliefs we test it by the word. Whatever I say, is the world agreeing with this? If not, it is not our culture. Amen. Hallelujah. Having said that, 1 Corinthians 9, share from the path we left from the last Workers' Congress. 1 Corinthians 9, now let's see this. A man accused me of having a different diction, different tone in ministers' meetings than in regular doctrinatives. Said, same as Paul. Amen. Tone is different. The tone has to be different. Because here I'm not urging you to believe the word. I'm knocking your head. And you ought to do the word. Hallelujah. Two different things. Hallelujah. The men observe like that. They don't hear the word, they just hear your voice. Such men without their salvation. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says something that has created a lot of melee. In verse 27. But I keep my body under, or I keep under my body, same thing, and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Because I'm talking to preachers. Look at that statement. Lest after I have preached unto others. You know the interesting part is this. Some believers that don't preach even to themselves use this scripture to preach that they lose their salvation. This is a case of Obongbo. Who is talking to you? That is over-exhausting of yourself. Say, I've preached unto others. Is it not deceit for you to read and say, hey, brethren, I don't know salvation. After I've preached unto others, who did you preach to? You are allowing the world to mislead you. You are misled by the world. Don't go and say, Father said you are misled by the world. You are in trouble if you say that. But the man says, I keep my body under. When he said my body, I know people have thought it's the physical body, but it goes beyond that. The word body is a word soma in the Greek that implies, a constituent of desires or constituent of affections, motions and motives. So he's not talking about a physical body, rather he's talking about, because if you look at the pretext of that scripture, we're talking about his desires, things he wants, things he deserves. But he says, I keep them under. So he's not referring to the physical body. In case you want to be, doing frog jump, or you want to kneel down to keep your body under. Under what? I keep my desires in subjection. I put my motives, my legitimate affections, my legitimate pursuits. Said I put it under. See, it's under the Bible, Romans 6:6. It says, knowing this, our old man is crucified to Christ, that the body of sin, That word body of sin is not physical body. The body of sin. The body is dead to sin. Romans 8:10. A body is dead to sin. It refers to that soma, the constituted nature of man, where his desires, his motives, his volition emanates from. Is that clear to someone here? 1 Corinthians. Verse 27. Lest after preaching to others. So this instruction is for a man who holds responsibility in ministry. The man begins to talk about being a castaway. The word being a castaway means someone that is not fit. Someone that has done something illegal. Someone that has been disqualified. And that cannot be salvation, because nobody is a castaway in salvation. John 6:47. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, cast away. Titus 3:4-5. Not of the right works that we have done, but by his own mercy. So he cannot be disqualified from salvation. It cannot be. Colossians 1:12. Give thanks to the Father who has made us qualify. So that's not it. The word cast away here relates with ministry. Cast away from ministry? No. The man is not cast away from ministry because he just said, after I preach unto others, so he was doing ministry. So, with the help of the previous statements, we can form, or we can arrive at the opinion of the scriptures, pardon me. In verse 23, for this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not, verse 24, that they which run in a race, look at the parable, in a race. Now, whenever you are reading scripture like this, and the writer puts forward an illustration, you must note the illustration. Now, he's talking about ministry. He gets to a point that he says, those that run in a race run all, that everybody runs. But one person receives the prize. So, the underlying feature of this statement is a prize. A prize is what you get that commends your efforts. A prize is what you get that beautifies, glorifies, acknowledges your labor, your effort, your intelligence, your skill. That is not salvation. Amen? The prize. So long that you might be saved. No. That you may obtain. In those days, there was something in Paul's days called the Ismanian Games. In those days, a culture around the world, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire. He says, run that you may obtain. People always go there to watch it. So he's saying, run that you may obtain the prize. Verse 25. And every man that strives, the word strives there is to compete for the mastery, is temperate in all things, has self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible crown now. And therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. That is, I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. So ministry must have a focus. Ministry must have a target. Ministry must have a point you are going to. man that strives for the mastery. The mastery. Where am I heading to? Some will say, well, I want to be a pastor. Legitimate desire. Told you that. I want to manifest, demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit. Legitimate desire. But you see, the end point of all that should be the mastery. Striving for the mastery. What do you mean the mastery? Look at verse 19 to 22. For though I be free from all men, you have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. Verse 20. And of the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as though without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made offerings to all men, that I might by all means save some. So put that in mind. So when he said the mastery, I strive for the mastery, run to obtain. I preach unto us, lest after I've done that, I become disqualified. Look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 7. I have fought a good fight. Now, he had told you about the fight. You are competing for something. You are contesting something. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That word is my race. Don't forget, he spoke about a race earlier. I have kept the faith. I have fought. I have finished my race. Actually, the word there is the race. It wasn't personal. I have kept the faith. Because there was nothing personal there. There's just one fight. There's just one race. There's just one faith. I have kept the faith. Notice that. I fought the fight, run the race, kept the faith. Keeping the faith is not salvation. Mm-mm. I have kept the faith. I have fought the fight. I have run the race. Therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. With the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. Don't forget, that day, not me only, but to all them that love is appearing. That appearing has nothing to do with Jesus coming the second time. Good. I have kept the faith. Laid before me is what those who keep the faith, who finish the race, who fight the good fight they have. He says those who run natural races have the perishable crown. So this one is the crown of righteousness. The reward. The reward. So, I must run towards my reward. I must have a reward in my mind as I run. I must know That is, either I serve God in vain, or I serve God and I get the reward. Someone listen to me here. I shall be offended when I'm sitting here. Zada, I get the reward or I lose the reward. That is, I don't have the reward. Laid before me. James 1:12. But is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Notice that. Salvation is because God loves you. This one is because you love God. Loving God is not salvation. Because you love him. Paul said the same thing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Because you love him. There is a reward. Because you are committed to his cause. What did he tell Peter? Lovest thou me more than this? Feed my flock. Hallelujah. Feed my flock. Ministry is the proof of our love for God. Am I talking to somebody here? Ministry is the... Getting saved is nothing, as it were. Pardon my use of words. Nothing came from you. But ministry, he says, is that love. That's why John Ricardo, how can you claim to love someone you don't see? When there are people you look at like this and you are not committed to their lives. Why did Paul say, I make myself a servant for all, so that I be not disqualified? Because the minute I don't see myself as a servant of people, like I told you, one who must be used by people, I lose the reward. Those are those who love is appearing. Those who love the Lord. Strive for the mission. They are not loving position. They love the Lord. First Corinthians 3. For other foundation can no man lay again. Pardon my again, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The man which is laid, Jesus Christ. That if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work. Every man's what? Say work. Salvation is not by works. Ephesians 2:8. Grace, are you saved through faith? Not of your own selves, the gift of God. None of us, as any man boasts. But don't forget, verse 10. It says, you are what? The workmanship of Christ. Right? Created unto good, what? Unto what? Which God beforehand had ordained that we should walk in them. James says, show me a man's faith, I'll show you his works. Some of us are so exactly, it's not what you do, but that's salvation. Nobody is rewarded for salvation, for getting saved. It's not what you do, but it doesn't mean that what you do does not matter. Somebody said this, and it makes sense. He said, in the days of the apostles, their greatest fight was against those who wanted to add works to faith for people to be saved. So what we seem to contend with in these days is those who seem to separate works from our faith. And no, it doesn't matter. And when you correct someone and say, we are all the same, are we not all sinners? Are we not all, you know? Anybody can miss it. There's nobody is perfect. And because they will say, nobody perfect. Nobody perfect. Every man's work, faith, work. The work not being works but one shall be made manifest. For the day, notice that word, the day. Have you observed the day? Paul mentioned the day. The day, the day. The Hebrew writer said that as we see what? The day approaching. We must provoke one another unto what? Prosperity, healing, good works. Because that is what the day is about. The day of works. Strive for the mastery. The day of works. Strive for the work. Look at this. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire shall try every man's work of what it is. The word fire there is for judgment. You know how judgment is? I know of you, you're telling me stories, Pastor Wiley, about somebody gave you gold to sell. So you have collected the money. Hey, I'm going to bless God. And the guy just said, wait, oh, before you go. Just saying, Papa, Panda. Give me the money. Anyone? Are you following my point? Want to travel out of the country? When you get to the entry point of most nations, not sure about Nigeria, but I think so. You give them your passport. You've even, probably have even flown into the country. They say, can I have your passport, please? That is fine. You have put the passport in a nice jacket. Your pictures there are so, they are glistering. They put it on a testing machine. Swipe it like this. It goes, Papa! And the life goes around. They hold you. Only. The next available anything takes you back to your country. Every man's work shall be tested. No matter how you have beautified it, don't call me brother, call me pastor, whatever. I'm a one man, whatever. I labor in tongues, even though it's the tongues of your grandfather, more than you, whatever. Every man's work, and it's not a salvation thing. You have said, all of us, our work we put together. So this one will cover that one, and then we'll obey. Every man. If any man's work abides, which are built upon Christ, what happens? He shall receive a reward. A reward. Can we look at 15 together? If any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss. Now, look at me. Look at me. Let me explain that to you. There cannot be a loss if there was not something before. That means at the start of our Christian race, God determines a reward for everybody. But when the man loses his reward, is because he has been disqualified. Then the apostle says, everybody runs, but you must run legally. The race we run in the Christian faith is so that we all run brother Uzumbo, hey! He gets there first. They give him gold. But as you don't need 18 seconds. Uzumbo is 9.5, just 18 seconds. He gets there, he's panting. They give him gold. I don't want to mention names now. But those who are greater is he that is outside them than that is within. So be. You know what? 29 seconds, 100 meters. I'm there. Gold. Everybody gets the same reward. Hallelujah. For keeping the faith. For running the race. For fighting the fight. But I won't bother. He thinks nobody is seeing him. He starts from the middle. And so, the spirit of which he gets to the finishing line so far, say, ah, everybody is shouting. And then, his God is having like this, he comes, no. What has he done? He has suffered a loss. He has no reward. But, he will be accepted into the stands because he's born again. He shall be saved yet by fire. Whose fire? Judgment. The judgment placed on Christ for his salvation. So he enters heaven as a believer without works. Nothing to show. Only the inward witness knows he's born again. Nothing to show. When the Bible says he shall suffer loss, it's the same breath that he said you are the angel of God. You shall suffer loss. So have faith in that statement. Believe it. If God says you will suffer loss, you will suffer loss. Second Corinthians chapter 5. For we must all, verse 10, appear before the bema seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he had done, whether it be good or what? Bad. So we must run according to rules. Rules of engagement demand that every one of us must have in our minds there is a reward for faithfulness. God is not forgetful of what? Your labor of love. Labor of what? Love. Labor of commitment for life. God is not forgetful. He's not. I just read Hebrews 6, verse 10. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and you used to minister. Look at it. And still minister. He is not forgetful of your labor of love, work and labor of love, which you have showed in his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Can we take verse 11 together? And we desire that every one of you to show the same what? The same what? To the full assurance of hope. Unto what? The end. Unto the end. I have finished. If you run so fast, 100 meters, get 50 meters, and you say, after all, I've tried. I started before everybody. I used to move the world of the camp of anybody got born again. I was the man that brought the fellowship to that place. I was. Why, brother? Why I was? You are still alive. Well, some things happened.
I'll tell you later. Brother, get yourself back on track before the race ends and you end badly.
Hallelujah.
You must determine to end and end faithfully. To the end.
1 Corinthians 15:58.
Be steadfast, immovable. I mean, always abounding what? In the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Look at the finishing list. I want you to open this one. In the work. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
It's not in vain.
Eternity is eternity. How many of you have cried before? Nobody here. You should start crying now if you are lying. How many of you have lost something before? Something precious. Boyfriend? Girlfriend? Something precious. Some people lose their phones and they will lose touch with God. Straight. They will lose money. Look at how you feel when you lose what is yours.
What do me?
A wristwatch? False money? You have saved that money for the last day. And then the devourer came and took it before the last day.
Ah!
Remember one day in government college, there was a fight between two boys. What was it? The guy was drinking his gallium sulfate. G2SO4. As we called it back then. And I was gasoline the thing. He now reserved what we used to call the last gallium. Precious. Incorruptible. Undefiled. And then someone just took it and drank it. He said, yeah! The way he fought over it. When we decided to separate them, what happened? We discovered this and everybody went crazy. You guys are mad. But what about the last gallon? When you reserve your meat for the last spoon. I'll take this one because my mom used to flog us for taking the meat first. The first should be the last. And the last the first. And you reserve it. And so you just take the meat.
Ah!
Imagine losing your reward. It will be an eternal loss. Eternal loss of what ought to be yours. And you'll be rebelling in after disobeying God and walking in sin and iniquity. For the grace that you have given us to life, we can never repay you. What can I say? What can I do? You are saying it purposely so that you excuse yourself. What can I say? What can I do? I stand in the abandon in awe for the world. So who is that? Just say, I shall have nothing to do. I stand. Just stand. I stand. Brother. Leave that for camp meeting. This is a minister's meeting. Amen. There are things to do, and there are things to say. Amen. What can I say? What can I do? There are many things to do. Amen. Every man's do shall be tested. But Lord, I tell you, it's not the word any man boast. That's why you are here first. That's why you are before my seat. You can only come because you are born again. But
what happened afterwards. Sir, my pastor told me that he's able to save them forever. That is still why you are here. You're not getting the point. You are here already. Now, here, nothing for you. Brother, nothing for you. Sir, no. The only thing you have is you now. Hallelujah. 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 Always know that there is an end to all this. We were saying something because we were coming. We saw one elderly musician. I learned he's now a Christian. He's in his 60s or maybe 60s or so. And I told somebody, if at this age he doesn't get born again, he must be an idiot. At the point in your life, you know that it doesn't matter again. Well, you have as many wives as can be wifed in the world system. You have had children of different kedar and kedars. You have had grandchildren. So what those are you looking for? You have all over the world. You have money, you have houses, you have cars, you have everything. And that point, you are still not thinking. You should think at that point. There is an end. And that end is for us to appear before Jesus and to say, oh, good and faithful servant. That's not salvation. Welcome into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, son Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, verse 2, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same, commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, now listen to this, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen to be a soldier. If a man strives for what? Masteries, yet is not crowned, except he strives lawfully. He is not crowned. You don't get it, except you do it properly. You don't get it, except you do it and do it properly. So, as a man of God, cell leader, house of a fellowship coordinator, zonal coordinator, pastor, bishop, apostle, prophet, whatever you are, having preached unto others, don't lose your reward, else it will be in vain. Don't lose your reward. Strive for the masteries. There's a conflict. There's a conflict. Now, if the Bible says, please look at this. If the Bible says, I have fought the good fight, that means there's a conflict. I have finished my course. That means there's a race that demands consistency, continuity, that you must get to the end. I have kept the faith. That means there are battles to keep the faith. I tell you, people of God, brothers and sisters, we are at war. Be aware. Be aware. We are at war. There is a conflict. There is a conflict against our wish. There's a conflict against our fight. There's a conflict against the faith. So I will share with you three things we must strive with. Four, actually.
we must strive for. Must either strive with them or strive for them. Philippians 1. Start from 25. I say this to all of you. Know, in ministry, we all come together, we have fellowship and all that. The different people, you are a pastor somewhere, you are a pastor somewhere, we are all different places, and that's the responsibility that's shared with everybody. But Paul says something here as a warning for us, because some folks can develop an hypocritical submission and loyalty and obedience to their pastors. If their pastors turn around like this, oh, they run their own fiefdoms and kingdoms. 25. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. 27. Only let your behavior, your conversation, be as it were, becometh the gospel of Jesus, gospel of Christ. That whether I'm in the meeting or not, whether I am present or not, whether your pastor is there or not, or is absent or he sees you, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving for the faith of the gospel. To keep the faith is a fight. You strive to keep the faith. That I may strive for the keeping of the faith, the gospel. Nothing terrifying in verse 28. By adversity, which is to them an evident token of perdition, that to you of salvation and of God. Now, some folks do not want anything to oppose what they believe. You must be ready for opposition against the faith. It says, in nothing terrified. Nothing. In nothing mood shifted. Verse 29. Let's take that together. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also what? To suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Conflict. So, we must be ready to endure. James 1:12. He that endures the test will receive the incorruptible crown. We must endure opposition to the faith of Christ. We must be ready to suffer for the message. It says, this same mind must be in all of us. Nobody must look at his reputation, his image, his life, his possession. There is a conflict against the faith, and we are all striving together to keep the faith. Jude 3. Contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold
hold on eternal life. Fight it. Fight it. You must stay with the word. You must be strong on the word. You must be resolute on the word. And there is no better way than what he first said. Let your behavior be that represents the word. You cannot defend the gospel if you do not live by the gospel. I was sharing with someone a while back. Opted for a divorce in a marriage and stuff like that. And he was saying it with all, reeling out the offenses that came from the man she was married to and telling me so much plethora, chronicles of events. And I kept quiet. For 2.5 hours, I went through the torture of listening to the sins of another man. I was tortured almost like the devil was before me, accusing us daily before God. I said a point. I said to myself, if I present the story of redemption to this person and she yet does not agree to forgive, I've seen a non-believer. I went on the same message of redemption. How Christ, who we sinned against, took the sin upon himself and took the blame for what we had done. Spoke out. Said, this is the gospel of Christ that we believe. Jesus said, when you love one another, then will the world know that you are my disciples. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works, talking about love, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Work on and preach the message of redemption. In redemption, we have a lifestyle. In Christ's sacrifice, we have a lifestyle. How? He gave his life for us. 1 John 3:16. Heavenly passage, the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. I was done. So proof of salvation. She burst into tears. I agree. So you're a Christian. If you hear the words of your master and your ears do not tingle, you never were sheep. Simple and straightforward. The word of God. Let the word of God become our culture. We don't backbite. We don't speak evil of people. We don't do those things. We don't do things like that. We keep our bodies holy as the temple of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We present our body, Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice. Whatever you do in word or deed, Colossians 17, do to the glory of God. Do in the name of Jesus. We keep that. That is our conversation becomes the gospel. It becomes, it's at par, it agrees with the gospel. 1 Peter 3:1 said, wives, let your husband behold your chaste conversation. Chaste. If any has a husband who has not obeyed the word, he can be won over by our conversation, not by our prayers. That becomes the gospel. So in keeping the faith, it is first our lifestyle. So hearing me here. Our lifestyle. Not a rebellious, unruly, irreverent attitude. That's not the faith. Lack of self-control. There's nothing you cannot read. There's nothing you cannot drink. There's nothing you cannot do. That does not befit the gospel. Must keep the faith. alive together. It must be in the minds of all of us. Chapter 2 verse 1. Is there therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, be the one according to one mind. You know, people say, well, I'm church are like cons. Everybody's thinking the same thing, they like the same thing, they talk the same way. But that's how the church ought to be. If we believe the same thing, we must act the same way. We don't mind the same woman? Amen. Have the same careers? No. Live in the same houses? No. Dress the same way? No. But the spirit of our actions remain the same. The reasons and motivations of our decisions must be the same. One mind, one spirit, one heart, one soul. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of spirit of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this man be you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This was where he started from. When he spoke about how Christ laid down his majesty, the word there of no reputation is the word to empty himself. Kenosis in the Greek means to leave what you have. And he came here and he says, let that man be you. Before he begin to take revelation about the name of Jesus there, he started with how Jesus first of all humbled himself. Became obedient on death, then on the cross. Wherefore God had highly exalted him. He went on and on. Having said that, verse 12 now says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, I shall always obey not in my presence only, but much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Starting with the lifestyle, the sacrifice of Jesus. So in working out our salvation, we mirror the sacrifice, the pattern, the humility of Jesus Christ. Let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel. You must strive together. Church, since community leadership, since community members, we must strive together. So let's strive together. Keep the faith in our conduct. We must strive together to represent the gospel. We must strive together. And don't forget, we must strive together to know that the message will get opposition. John 16:33. In this world you have tribulation and trials. In me you have peace. Be of good cheer. I overcome the world. So there is opposition even to that lifestyle of ours. Someone said about a preacher. So you know why the guy is always forgiving people? Do you know why? Do you know why he's always talking about love, walking in love? So that he knows he will do wrong. So he's trying to make you know that when I do wrong, please forgive me. That is an evil mind. But such philosophies will come against the truth of the word. But it is our responsibility to maintain our stand and strive with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Secondly, we must strive with prayers. We must strive with prayers. A believer, a minister that is not praying has become a prey. You must strive with prayers. Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. We must be prayerful. Prayer is the weapon of the believer. Take unto you the whole armor of God. It mentions the armor of the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, the sandals of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. And it says, praying always. Verse 18. Part of the conflict of the believer. Strive together with me in your prayer. Strive. Prayer is a conflict. What does that mean? That means that there will be a cold approach not to pray. There will be a reason not to pray. And you see that people today, Satan has so much comes to mind of people today. They say, well, it's not about prayer here. It's not about prayer. You want to get married? They say, it's not about prayer. It's about what you want. Foolish people. I told someone, I said, you are where today? She said, I'm here. Mentioned the place where we were seated. I said, a few days ago, did you ever plan to be here? She said, no. That's how foolish it is for you to rely on your understanding to plan for the future. Very foolish. Prayer commits us to the will of God. Prayer puts us at the center of God's will. Prayer means, Lord, I trust you. What are we doing when we do that? We are striving. Colossians 4:11. Everyone is one of you, a son of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So, prayer is a conflict. A conflict between our desires and the plan of God. A conflict between what we want and the things of the Spirit. We must strive with prayers. We must compete. We must, as we are going toward the mark, we must strive with prayers. Prayer is an ingredient to finish the race. How often? Praying always. Ephesians 6:18. Because it's a race we must run always. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Men always ought to pray. Luke 18:1, and not to faint. I cease not to make mention of you. Ephesians 1:16. Always in 17 in all in prayers. We must pray always because we are always running the race. We are always keeping the faith. We are always fighting the good fight. Take unto yourselves, that's the word, keep taking unto yourself the whole armor of God, one of which is praying always. Must pray always. Thirdly, we must strive to preach the gospel. We must labor to preach the gospel. We must see preaching the gospel as a conflict on its own. We have an enemy already against preaching the gospel. We must preach the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Pray for us that the word of the Lord be what? Run a free course and be glorified. Even as it is with you. That will be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So even for the word of God to grow, whether in Nigeria, in America, in the UK, in your campus, it takes conflict. It's not easy. It takes conflict. Go and look at Acts 19. So many greet the word of God and prevail. Look at, there was conflict against the message. The Jews rose up and brought, you know, dissension against the message of Paul. That's why he separated the 12. Conflict. So out of that, the soldiers came out trying to duplicate what he was doing. And they were disgraced. So mightily grieved the word. All Asia heard the message. By conflict, by a man called Paul. Romans 15 again. Romans 15. Verse 19. Through signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. This is strove to preach. He fought to preach. Some say, well, in that school, they don't give us room to preach. No, you create it. The world does not give you room to preach. cannot be opportunity abounding. You create them by the reason of conflict. You will engage life. You will engage the world. See, Paul, before the King Agrippa, before Festus, he was bound and tied. Yet, that for Paul became an opportunity. It became an opportunity. He created it by the virtue of conflict. And then he announced the gospel. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Preach the gospel. But know that the gospel will not preach itself. Things will not prepare itself. You will strive to preach the gospel. That's part of keeping the faith. Running your race. Running the race. And fighting the good fight. You will fight. You told him, fight the good fight of faith. So it was, I become so weak and little livered. Because a certain doctrine or certain messages have enveloped your surroundings, which are not the truth of the word. For acceptability's sake, you now mellow down on the truth you have believed. So that you can create acceptance with men. The Bible says, he that will be the servant of men will not be the servant of God. No. So we'll preach the gospel. We'll teach the gospel. You are not trying to be like anybody. So we were there was one time in one meeting we had with, I think it was Pastor Assistance one time. I said, hey, Pastor, somebody complained that in our services we open the Bible too much, that the message is too long. I said, sorry. That is what we are preaching. That cannot be slaughtered, offered on the sacrifice of acceptance. I don't need someone to accept the ministry for him to join the church. He will accept the word. Amen. The word is the word that we are preaching, and is the word that must be accepted. You must strive to preach. There is no situation that should overwhelm you that you should not preach. Loss of your job, loss of money, business contract go bad, whatever. Strive to preach the gospel. Use every opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ. Number four, strive for self-control. Philippians 4:4, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Philippians 4:5. For the Lord is at hand. I bring under my body, I put it into subjection, lest having preached unto others, I myself become a cast away. So, James 1:12, be temperate in all things. You have to be temperate. You have to have self-control. Self-control means control desires, control ambitions, control pursuits. If there's something that easily destroys a minister of the gospel, it's lack of self-control. Self-control is to delay immediate gratification for a nobler and eternal purpose. I'll say that again. Self-control means to delay gratification, immediate gratification, to pursue a more nobler, honorable, and eternal purpose. Delay sex. Delay anger.
delay pursuits, delay food, delay your emotions, delay tears, delay laughter. Delay it. How many of you know there's gratification in crying? You know, you don't like the person that doesn't want you to cry. Are you crying? Relax, take it easy. And you are crying, and you are enjoying it. How you know you are enjoying it is this: you are crying all over who has died, and the guy wakes up, you will first run. So it was not a gratification. There's gratification in laughter. You must curb your reactions. How you react to stories. How you react to things you hear about people. Delay it. You know it's good to be quiet. Bible says story to be quiet. So it says, you know what do you have to say about it? Give me some time. Why some time? Talk now. A guy says, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. The guy was touching the damn son of the UI. And he says, the guy said, well, give me some time. I said, I don't have time. I have set a target to get married. And the guy said, please now, please. You want to marry a short distance runner? Let him go. So, you delayed, delayed, say later. That's what it means, later. Delay money. Lack of self-control costs Esau his birthright. I'm hungry. The guy said, give me your birthright. I'll give you this wonderful, well-prepared agricultural. Ha! He said, give me your birthright. The idiot. He said, what is in the birthright? Give me food. But because he's a profane man. He's the same guy that wants to take a daughter of Canaanite that his parents were angry against. He didn't care. Samson's destruction, as it were, built up on lack of self-control. Saw a woman. Fine. Sick of. She has everything, you know. She's completing him. See height. Hey, see this. I said, Daddy, I want that woman. Because in those days, it's the parents that get you your wife. I want that woman. Samuel, this girl is an unbeliever. I want her. I said, I love her. People cry and say, but his advisor, the guy, they say, I love him. I love him. He insisted. I tell you, stubbornness is not about you. Stop glorifying it. I'm a stubborn person. What have you just said? What have you just said? The Bible says to be stubborn is that it's sin of witchcraft. I hope you have read it before. I'm stubborn. You guys are a stubborn guy. He's going to be a stubborn defender. Oh, Nick Bobo, Nick Ba. A stubborn goalkeeper. You should push it out. But don't be a stubborn believer. whatever I want to do, he will do it. You just wait. So it's self-control. Control yourself. You can keep quiet. Don't say anything. Under the greatest pressures of life I've had. What do you have to say about this matter? One time somebody came to us, I said, city people, we want for city people, we want to write. Somebody said that by a ministry. What I said is, and you know, people that left this church, they want to see people. And then you also say, Pastor, what do we say? Said, tell the lady we don't grant interviews. She said, she wants to hear our side of the story. Before she published, I said, tell her to publish anything she likes, that it will just be another publication of the ministry. Sure. I don't need a PR manager.
The word is the PR. The truth of the word can never be bound. Lie against it. Because the way to lie against it, you lie against the minister. Before you bring discredit to the minister, so discredit the word. But you see, I have passed that level. You can't discredit me. You can't. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and we yourself and what Christ said. Simple. Too bad. So I said, what I said, I will bring down your ministry. He told me. I said, the funny part is it is not up. So if it's already down, you want to bring it down, you are going down on that. You have to be down first to bring something down. So I say, you have self-control. Don't react. Don't say, it's not true. It's not this. You are silly. When Pilate asked Jesus, and he said, are you the one? Tell us. Jesus said nothing. Nothing. He said nothing. I can't release you. You? I came to die for you. Or they? He said nothing. Because that persecution, Paul says, will turn out. Those afflictions will turn out for the furtherance, amen, of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. It will turn out for the gospel of Christ. You don't see us in this ministry call a large meeting to address issues. What we address the word. With well, this time is so short that we have to keep teaching the word. In fact, after marking the script of the last pastoral training program, I told myself, we double up the word. We double up the word. Ah! Amen. We double up the word. So I don't have time to do president explains. Pastor explains. Explains what? That issue. Pastor explains the word. Preach the word only. Hallelujah. Well, so you must have self-control under every instance, every some of you the way you sleep. It's like there is none holy like my sleep. There is none beside me night. I just sleep. Just sleep. So you talk anyhow. You don't even know what you have said. You know, there's some people that their lies lie against one another. You don't get that? Their lies lie against one another. Where were you? I was in Shobolu. Yes, lie. That is lie. So I was, where were you? Ah! Bagada. So his lies are lying against one another. The center cannot hold. A kingdom divided against it cannot stand. Lack of self-control. You don't have to talk all the time. If you use the words, you want to talk every time. After a while, your words will lose meaning. Be swift to hear, James 1:19. Be slow to speak, be slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Amen. Put your body under. Bring it under control. All your emotions, all your desires, all your plans, pursuits must be under control. Nothing must overwhelm you. A desire to have, a desire to become, a desire to say, a desire to do something must never overwhelm the pursuit of purpose, the pursuit of the mark, the pursuit of the reward available in Christ. Philippians 3. Oh, I love this scripture. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Can we take 14 together? I press. Oh, I like that. I do what? I do what? What is a press? I struggle.
I persevere. Oh, glory. I am in conflict.
Are you a pastor? A fellowship coordinator of pastors of fellowships? Listen to me, brethren.
You have to press. Nothing is easy.
Grace of God at work in you, I know.
But the response to that grace is a conflict with life's pressures, life's demands.
You are about to go on the pulpit and you hear a funny news about a course you just took, a campus pastor.
And a member of your fellowship or another fellowship says, ah, sir, I just saw your result.
It seems like it's a problem somewhere.
What about yours? Ah, my one is okay, you know. I just said to tell you. Yo, just, it is well, sir.
There is a desire to run at that.
Paul says here, I press towards the mark.
For what?
The prize of the high calling. Is it salvation? Of God where? In Christ. The prize, the mark of the high calling that is in Christ.
Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded.
If anything be revealed, be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let us mind the same thing.
In verse 17, brother, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so,
which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you, even weeping, even with tears, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction,
whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shield. The word belly there is in their desires, their appetites. They cannot control their appetites.
Who mind what?
What do they mind? What do they mind?
In control, Jewanoguduni.
So I couldn't come to service. Say why? My shirt was not ironed. Imagine telling your boss at work, I couldn't come to work, sir. My shirt was not ironed. He says, okay, go back. Since you want to do the job of a laundromat, go and iron your shirts for the rest of the year. We don't need ironers in this company.
They mind earthly things. What should she the most? Earthly things. A TDH guy, a fine girl, or they.
Delilah is wrapped up in the temple of idols for you.
I like this. I like fast cars. I like beach tourist resorts. I like watch what you like. It could start to like you and you'll be in trouble.
Watch what you like. What? Satan will never use what you don't like to get at you, to devour you. It's what you like that you use. Henceforth, you must have self-control.
I like music from Lord, you have been faithful to me, simply devoted to you.
You started losing touch with the words of songs. You started liking the rhythm of songs. So music has gotten you into secular music. So now you say, nice songs, cool songs. Before you know it, you start to accept explicit sexual songs, you are in trouble.
What you like starts to destroy you gradually.
Their God is their appetite, their belly, their mind.
Earthly things.
Hallelujah.
What you like. Ask yourself, what do I like?
Don't say the word. You are lying.
You are lying. I like the word. I like fine girls, fine guys,
beautiful,
fast cars. I like football.
Good football, bad football, Chelsea kind, Barcelona kind, yeah. Arsenal kind, whatever you like, say.
I like holidays. I like sleep.
Don't lie, don't lie. Don't lie.
Because I don't like sleep. I don't like sleep. I like to stay awake and pray in tongues. I like sleep. I like to hang out with friends. I like to drink. Drink. Generally. Hallelujah. I like to, we used to call it in secondary school, I like to spoot up. When I was spooting it, I spoot up. And the only be the Ragandi Rashidi. Rashidi. So you really like the way you appear. You spend more time before the mirror than praying. The mirror, not the world now. The mirror of life. 20 minutes. I like to look fine. 6 hours under the microwave oven. Million braids. 9 hours you're there. Want to look fine. It's good to look fine. It's good to look good. It's good to like drinks. Pure water. Soft drinks. It is in what you like that you can lose your reward. What do you like? I like attention. Something that makes me come into my friend, my boyfriend. You like attention. Any meeting you call someone, can I just see you? Welcome, Kudan. Can I just see you? You just like attention. You like the comfort. You now have a passion to like attention. So anytime someone, you say, maybe you run towards a brother caller or somebody, oh brother caller, I say, how are you? And you came with all your 39 teeth out. And he says, how are you? So I say, what's wrong with you? She says, so. Nothing. You like attention. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Stay with that. Lord, I am with you. In case you like to see faces, the face of the Lord is upon the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. 1 Peter 3:12. So, the Lord will shine his face continually upon you. Amen. Not that. He really told me something years ago. I said, and she was saying it with confidence. And you know, when you hear things from people in your fellowship, it breaks your heart. When you hear it from outside, you laugh. When it's in your own church, it breaks your heart. I don't understand that. And she said, I know. I couldn't imagine what I was hearing. This whole used to handle the pulpit in a real church. I know that. The Holy Ghost is our comforter. But you know I need a real comforter in the flesh. I said, you know what I'm saying? I'm human now. I'm a woman. Because she was good at an allergy. Another comforter. Amen. Heteros paracrentos. The parenthesis. Tell me the lady a few months back. I said, you're a disgrace to the faith. Say what? Said, I'm still a Christian. I said, I'm not doubting that. I said, you're a Christian, a non-believer. A Muslim. Jesus is on that. Devil is on top. Say that. He said, I overcome the world. This world is different. The world is overcoming the church. Say whatever you like. Say, God allowed it. He had to. With all the stress you give him, he had to. Attention. Nobody was there for me. It was only Muslim that God. Nobody was there for me. God is there for you. I'm not God. I can't be there for you.
Many reasons. Number one, it's there for me too.
Why are you laughing now? Number two,
I cannot be where I am not.
I can only be where I am. His name is called Air.
Shama is always there.
Number three,
I may not even like you, but I have to love you. Because the Bible says, I must love.
He loves and he likes you.
It's a better, so the best option for you.
Amen.
You just like attention. Attention.
Why did he not give you like that?
And some carnal beings in the church, when they see that you like that attention, they'll be calling you often. How are you? I saw that your face was, how can you call a Christian, a leader in church, and say, you're not looking too fine. What happened? You can talk to me.
See, I just discovered that you're not participating well in the worship.
Now send a text message. Don't worry. You have a friend in me. Don't worry. A fool. Better bring your body under. You're already a castaway.
If only that there's not another chance to run again. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, what you like is what can disqualify you.
There can't be a temptation for what you don't like. There are some things. Okay, you know something? You, a man, so to say, this is, I don't know why I'm talking like this, it's just, you know, when there are gays and homosexuals, a man cannot tempt me.
See? I just say, come.
Not that, no.
What? It's not possible. It's not the one who has dreams.
Do you get my point? You can't tell me in secret.
You can't tell me. Because there is no desire. I don't like it.
So it's what you like that can make you lose your reward. You have to be temperate. Even at things that are good. A husband and wife, sex and marriage, 1 Corinthians 7, 4 and 5. He says, let Satan tempt you for your lack of self-control. Create time for prayer and fasting. Every time, Dalia, I love you. What if Dalia, let's pray once. Prayer and fasting and the study of the word. You like to travel. Things you like to sleep. Don't you know that David saw Bathsheba near the pool? Near the pool? So a woman dresses, Baba, the Gojukuro. So we don't have to change channels. Kill him, Anisha, how you what was that? What was that? What was that? Come on, come on. What was that? They came to the pool. What was that change channel? You are the same frequency. Self-control. Sorry, self-control. I press towards the mark. Trust is the mark. The day they prayed for you was there. Today you are the pastor of K2 Fellowship. You are the pastor of this church. There's a race. There's a fight. There's a conflict. Before us we close. There's a conflict. Don't ever ignore it. Don't ever ignore it. It's a conflict of human desires, human passions. First
Samuel 6. Know the story of Israel? When Ark had been taken away to the Philistines, the war about the Ark of the Covenant, and the war and tumult was happening all over the lands. They were wondering, why was this happening? Is this just happenstance? Is this just by chance? And then they said, okay, let's know. They sent it to one country. That was it. We don't want. Thank you. We've had the numerous miracles that happened because of the Ark. They said, no, we don't think so. Let's get two milking mama cows whose first instinct, godly instinct, is to go to their chickens, to their babies. Let's put the Ark on them and let's see the direction that the Ark will go in the way to Bethlehem. The Bible says, now if the cows just went on their own, that would be very, very abnormal. The Bible says that the cows went with the Ark on them towards Jerusalem. They began to complain because their instinct, legal, proper instinct, was to go to their kids. The glory of God was on those animals. They went towards the will of God. Animals can do that because they don't have a will of their own. The difference in us is that we can choose to drop the Ark, and that which is legitimate now becomes a sin. It's good to go to your mama cow. It's good to go to your children. It's good to go to your kids. It's good to go to work. It's good to eat the money. It's good to eat. But when you cannot control that to serve God, it becomes a sin. Self-control. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Give you no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I say this to you, be careful for the relationships you keep, the pursuits that you pursue. Demas went out of the world, 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Be careful of your thoughts, your ambitions. You three things like preeminence. Be careful. Love not the world, the things that are in this world. When the world is called of you, determined to be called. Determined to be called. Do you know that you can know whether you'll be rewarded or not? Paul says, take heed what you build. You can determine. Bring my body into subjection. Lest I will preach them to others. I myself comes and cast away. Let's bow our heads. That's the Lord.